Welcome back to Camden Cast, your unofficial Baltimore Orioles fan podcast from CamdenChat.com. I am your host, Mark Brown. I am awakening the podcast from dormancy over the season because, hey, as you know, the Orioles are in the freaking playoffs. You can't not have a Camden Cast when the Orioles are in the playoffs. That would just be a shame upon shame. And I'm joined tonight by the person who made sure to shove me into doing a podcast for the Orioles being in the playoffs. She made me promise. She is my friend and my Camden Chat partner in crime. She is Stacey Folkemer. Stacey, how's it going?
It's going pretty great tonight, Mark. How are you?
I am doing absolutely great, too, because the Orioles are in the postseason. They made the playoffs. You know, my preseason prediction on this very podcast was 82 wins.
They got a couple more than
that.
They
did get a couple more than that. I really didn't think. I thought, you know, maybe they'll be like one win better than last year, and that's as good as it'll get. And they ended up doing a little bit better than that. The other teams were not as good as I thought they were going to be. Of course, we may recall in 2012 when the Orioles made the postseason, they had to have 93 wins to be tied for the wild card. This year, they are in there with 89 wins.
Yes, and
is the fourth most wins they've ever had in a season in my life. I think I'm gonna have to double check that real quick, because they've only won more games than this in 1997, 2012, and 2014. So if you were born later than 1983, and I was born after the season was over in 1983, then this is the fourth best Orioles season of your life. By total number of wins in the season.
That's a little bit sad.
It is.
Because 89 is good, but it's not like great.
Yeah. And actually, for anybody who was born in 1998, if we have someone who's just turning 18 this year who's for some reason listening to this podcast, that's their third best Orioles season of someone who is old enough to vote this year.
So what you're saying is it's good.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I don't like to be in a good mood about the Orioles because when I am, they start to lose. But You've caught me at this moment just feeling very, I guess you would say I'm happy to be here. Not that I am there, but the Orioles are there, and I'm experiencing that through them. That's how I'm feeling right this second. It's not the usual pessimistic incarnation of Mark Brown at this very moment. It's very strange.
Well, I really hope that the Orioles can help you out and push through that barrier that you have against feeling optimistic about them, because I feel like, you know, might be a little healthier if you and I were both a little bit more optimistic about the Orioles from time to time.
I think it would be. And of course, CamdenCast is my free psychiatry session with the world, or at least whoever listens. So it's you know, we're all working out our issues. Maybe people out there have the same issues. It's just so hard to believe in the Orioles. I mean, they haven't won the World Series of my life. I'm 32 years old. They haven't won the World Series. That's not as bad as the Cubs, who, of course, are also in the postseason. But it's, you know, that's a lot of a life to not have even been in the World Series, let alone whether they won it or not.
Yeah, and I think even, I mean, so that you have the foundation that is all of the years of futility that we went through as Orioles fans. And then building on that, you have this team that was playing so well in the beginning of the year that it seemed like, I don't want to say almost a foregone conclusion, but they seemed in a very good position. And then they kind of just, you know, pissed it away little by little until it seemed lucky that they got it on the last day.
That's certainly how it felt. It's funny because I didn't have very high expectations for the team in before the season. I guess I kind of bought into the, of course, none of the quote-unquote experts or, you know, computer projections or whatever really thought the Orioles were going to have any serious chance to do anything. I know I saw one, like, you know, ESPN has their panel of whatever. Like, they had, like, 100 people do, like, division winner predictions and, like, wild card predictions. And literally no one picked the Orioles. More people picked the Twins. There was, like, one person picked the Twins. And the Twins ended up losing over 100 games. No one picked the Orioles at all, so that, you know, it's just, I guess I kind of absorbed some of that, and, you know, you had my natural pessimism, and then it ended up pretty awesome for a while. Like you said, they were 5.5 games up as late as June the 29th, which is nearly the halfway point of the season. And then it felt like, oh, they're squandering that. But, I mean, did they really squander it? Like, here's the thing. As the season ends, the Orioles still have the seventh worst starting rotation by ERA in MLB. So if you think about it that way, it's actually kind of a miracle that the Orioles made it to the postseason when they had one of the worst starting rotations in baseball, the third worst in the American League. Like, that's a big barrier to overcome to get anywhere.
I guess when you put it that way, it does seem like they maybe, and it's funny, it seems like they overperformed, and certainly based on what every expert and you, I don't remember what I thought they were going to do, thought that they were going to be, I mean, you said, what, 500 at best, maybe one game over 500.
Yeah.
And so it's this weird, like, conflict of, if you look at the numbers and you look at what was expected of them, yeah, they really overperformed, but it just felt like they could have done so much more after the way they started.
Especially when you get to, like, the trade deadline and their moves are like, oh, we're going to bring back Steve Pierce and we're going to get Wade Miley. And, you know, Wade Miley was not so good until basically his last two starts. I mean, he was okay on Saturday. He wasn't great, of course. Stacey, I know you had an opinion about Wade Miley coming out for the extra one inning beyond what he should have done, as did most people in Birdland, I think, that were.
Yeah, it didn't make much sense to. It just seems like if you get six innings, was it two runs at that point, out of Wade Miley, you just count your blessings and you move on.
99 pitches in six innings. That's where you say, thank you, Wade Miley. It's someone else's turn now. It seems to me. But we won't have to worry about Wade Miley, I don't think, in the wild card game on October the 4th.
No, I don't think so.
Setting up a date with the Blue Jays, where the Orioles just took two out of three games just in the last week. And as far as that, all that goes, you know, that's a good thing to be rolling into town with that knowledge, knowing, okay, the Orioles won, what, of their last nine games, they went 7-2. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and, you know, going into that Blue Jays series last week, it seemed hopeless to me that they would win. You know, you and I talked about it leading into it. Oh, if they can win one, two would be like, there's no way that, you know, and then they went in and yeah, they lost one, but then they, you know, very, you know, concisively won the next two. And that was, and since then I felt like my attitude just changed and I was like, yeah, they could just go in Toronto and win. They just did it. I don't know.
Over a 162 game season, of course you can flip like the outcome of any one game and it only matters so much, but like when you're talking about like getting down to the wire and there's only so many games left, they just feel all so much more important. And that pinch hit Hyunsoo Kim home run on Wednesday, like I honestly think that really saved the Orioles season, because if they had lost there, it was just going to be like, ah, nope, that's it, toast.
Yeah, that definitely kind of turned the tide, it felt like.
That was just huge. And then of course they won the next two games after that as well, all on the road, where the Orioles had been bad all year. It's a good time to be turning things around. And of course, if you want to, and I will probably get into this mode sometime between now and when that game starts, I'll be worried about the second half Orioles offense and how it had performed or not so much performed over the second half of the season. Because, you know, it wasn't so good after about June.
Yeah, but they kind of seem like they have been bouncing back from that lately, and what's to stop that from keeping on going?
They're making it work. They're starting pitching. Did they have the best rotation ERA or something close to it in September, October, which is...
That's what I saw on a Masson broadcast or something like that. I didn't look it up myself.
I certainly would not have guessed that the rotation would solidify in September, because like the Orioles had, they had nine starters start at least 10 games, if I didn't just count wrong. Eight starters start at least 10 games, and five of those eight guys have an ERA over five.
That's not good, huh?
That's not so good. Now, that's counting some relief appearances from the likes of Tyler Wilson and Mike Wright, so I don't know how that would look if we only looked at them as starters, but that's not what you want to have Of course, Ubaldo Jimenez was a mess for a lot of the season. Yovani Gallardo was the big offseason free agent signing, and they gave up a draft pick to get him, and he was not my favorite Oriole of the season. I mean, they overcame a lot to get here. It's really kind of amazing.
Yeah, and the hard thing to, I don't know, it's been so good in September, but when you look at the overall package, it's hard to imagine it getting to be much, I don't know, it's hard to have faith. Like, as good as Ubaldo has been over the last however many starts, do you want that guy starting for you in a playoff game? Which he might be amazing, but what about the Ubaldo that was in the first 5 months, 4.5 months of the season, you know, like, what about that guy?
Does Ubaldo have it in him to be the Joe Saunders who's going up against, like, a Yu Darvish? Well, I don't know. The Jays have started all their best pitchers over the last series because they needed them, so I don't think they're going to...
Yeah, I think if they wanted to pitch... I was looking at it today, and if they wanted to pitch Estrada, it would be on short rest. Otherwise, they could go with Stroman or Liriano, which I think they're definitely not going to go with Stroman.
Yeah, Stroman has been their worst starter, I believe. So that would be a surprise. Of course, we know how the Orioles are against left-handed pitchers, Francisco Liriano being a lefty. And indeed, he struck out 10 Orioles over 6 1/3 innings just last Wednesday when the Orioles were up in Toronto. But that was the game with the Kim home run where it was clutch and they ended up winning. But that's because the Blue Jays bullpen is maybe not so good, so... I guess what you need to have the Orioles do is get into the bullpen. Not that they really excel at that. Work in pitch counts and all of that, not so much.
Yeah, I think that if they do have Liriano starting, then, you know, he hasn't been great this year, but he's been pretty good of late, and he was very good against the Orioles, and he's just the kind of guy that shuts down the Orioles. So if that's who they end up facing, you have to go into it with a game plan of, like, we got to get this guy out of here.
You know, I'm gonna hold our former Camden caster Andrew Gibson personally responsible if Francisco Liriano starts for the Blue Jays and beats the Orioles in the wild card game, because Gibson works for the Pirates now. For our listeners who don't know, and I'm sure he was not responsible for that trade, but I'm going to blame him anyway.
Well, it's not like Liriano had been any good for the Pirates.
No, he certainly hadn't been, and now he's had a 2.92 ERA over 10 games with the Blue Jays, which is...
obnoxious.
I wish we could have had Wade Miley have that kind of transformation, man. We would have won the division. No, probably not, but it would have been closer.
Yeah, because he was terrible. He's at least gotten a little bit better.
He's had some positive momentum the last little bit, but...
Well, you know, as bad as he started off, there's no way he could have... I mean, there was nowhere to go but up. And he has gone up a little bit. And, you know, whatever we can get from him, I don't even know what his role would be in the playoffs. You know, they're going to try not to use him or Gallardo as much as they can.
Right, right. I guess not. And of course, we're getting ahead of ourselves even worrying about the Orioles need to worry about a 5-game series. We'll do another podcast for that. We'll give you 2 Camden casts in 1 week. You can put that one in the books.
Yeah, if the Orioles win the wild card game, we're doing another podcast.
We won't be back.
I'll make sure.
You won't even believe how much Camden Cast is coming. We won't be doing a podcast for every game, but every series probably, if we get to that point. But
again, getting ahead of ourselves.
Right, because first they got to win the one game.
But you know what? Just, they're in now, and anything can happen in a 1-game series, anything can happen in a 5-game series, like, there's reason to be optimistic. The Orioles are good. They're in the playoffs.
The Orioles were good enough to get into the playoffs, despite what all of the haters, including occasionally myself, if you ask our Facebook commenters, I was one of the biggest haters.
Well, you do predict that they're going to lose basically every single game.
But that's different. Is it? Maybe it's not different. I don't know. I have my moments where I'm very happy about them. Maybe they just don't stick out in people's minds as much.
Well, you know, you have a role to play.
That's true. We do all have a role to play. Maybe mine is to be the grouch sometimes.
Sometimes.
For all that the Orioles struggled in Toronto earlier in the year. That last series really closed the gap. And so what? I mean, the Jays were only, what, 10? It was 10-9 was the season matchup, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's pretty close to even. And then you're going to play one more game. You know, those are teams who are matched up. You know, they've been playing about the same quality baseball.
Yep, right down to the same exact record for the season.
Same record for the season. It was only that 10-9 that gives the Jays the tiebreaker. Stupid Red Sox had to just go into the tank and do nothing on David Ortiz's final regular season home game. How could they blow that?
Well, if that means anything, hopefully it means that the Red Sox, who won, what, like 12 games in a row, are cooling down just at the right time.
Yeah, let's hope they used up all their luck. Of course, again, I guess we're getting ahead of ourselves again.
Well, no, listen. Well, the Red Sox are going to the division series no matter what, and I want them to lose no matter what.
Yeah.
It's
always relevant to want the Red Sox or the Yankees to lose as an Orioles fan.
The Yankees did lose,
thanks to the Orioles. Man, Yankee Stadium had the Red Sox clinch the AL East, the Yankees eliminated from the postseason despite winning, and the Orioles celebrating their wild card all in the span of about 5 days.
Yeah, rough final homestand for them.
Well, I've got a very small violin, and I'm going to play it for them now. I don't actually have a small violin, so I'm not going to play any violins, but, you know. Too bad. Too bad for the Yankees. I'm as you know, Stacy, I am personally offended that the Yankees are not below 500 this year.
I know. It seemed like the year that it was finally going to happen. And then they went and got all, like, inspired with their youth movement, jerks.
Ditch A-Rod and announce Teixeira is retiring. Trade their two best relievers. And then go on a little run. I mean, what, did they only get eliminated 4 days before the end of the season? That's making it pretty far down to the end. So if I didn't hate the Yankees, I would applaud their accomplishment. But no, that's not going to be happening.
Well, at least now they don't get that high draft pick.
They don't get a high draft pick, you're right. That's one way to look at it. But back to the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays, you know, we were talking about the Orioles were good in September. The Blue Jays were not. The Blue Jays, nope. September and October, 12-16. So
that's the opposite of the Orioles.
That is
almost
about the opposite of what the Orioles did in that same span. I don't know how many runs they scored today, but they've scored 104 runs plus whatever they scored on Sunday was all over those games. So that's really not very good offense for them, and they've had a lot of problems in their bullpen.
Yeah, and their offense is really one of their, you know. I mean, their rotation is pretty good, too, but their offense has kind of been their calling card for the last couple of years, so.
Right. I think Bautista has really kind of cooled off in the towards the end.
He certainly looked crappy against the Orioles.
He did. Well, wasn't he like 1-for-10 in that series? Or Encarnacion was bad in the series, too?
I think they both were.
Yes.
Only that Ezekiel Carrera was the only guy who seemed like he could get on base for them.
Ezekiel Carrera. It's always just like the Orioles to have, like, the guy who has 5 home runs gets his 6th home run. I could see that happening in the wild card game, too. Here comes the Mark Brown pessimist. Like a Kevin Pillar, 7 home runs all season. I could see him hitting a home run in the wild card game.
Yeah, they'll, like, keep down Bautista and Donaldson and Encarnacion, and then you'll have these little nobodies. Well, not that Pillar's a nobody. He certainly is very good, but not for known for hitting.
Kevin Pillar will rob, like, 9 balls that could have been like home runs or could have been doubles or triples. It's one thing that could happen in the wild card game. But then, of course, the Orioles could hit 6 dingers.
Yep.
The roof is going to be closed, we assume. So you won't have to worry about cold air so much, I guess.
I mean, the way this Oriole team is, I don't think anyone would be surprised if they hit 6 dingers and won the game or if they struck out 15 times. Like, that's just, either one seems equally likely to me. They just, and that's why it's hard to kind of like build up your confidence in them, because it seems like every time we have this year, then they start being incapable of scoring more than 2 runs in a game for a couple weeks.
Like, yeah, you just get these stretches where it's just like, what the heck happened? Like, you know, it feels like ancient history now, but there was May against the Astros? They set the strikeout record in a 3-game series, and it ended up being what was it, 57 strikeouts or something ridiculous over the three games?
Yeah, that wasn't fun.
You know, you had that whole four-game series against Oakland where, what did they lose? On consecutive days, they lost 3-2, 2-1, and 1-0.
How could they not have just won one of those games?
You got jabronis like Zach Neal and Ross Detweiler starting the games.
But they got to the wild card anyway.
They got to the wild card anyway. I think about those series and I just think, man, how bad was the rest of the American League that they couldn't be better than the Orioles? You know, like all these other teams were in like loser divisions, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. The Orioles made it and they were in a division with, first of all, two other teams that are in the playoffs. And also the Yankees, like you said, they were hanging around and making trouble for most of the season. And like they still got there. There still was nobody, you know, you would think that a team like the Royals could have beat up a little bit more on their lousy division mates, but nope.
The Minnesota Twins came into today 58-83. Came into the last game of the season 58-83. I'm just going to guess they lost because they're the Twins. But either way.
What? 83? They've
I'm sorry, 103. I misspoke, Stacey.
Oh, okay.
you caught me. 58-103 is what I meant to say.
I was like, I don't know much about the Twins, but I know that they have over 100
losses. 103. Don't mind my faux pas. I'm literally frazzled because after the Orioles won, I spent like 3 hours blogging, and now we're doing this podcast. Oh, the Twins actually won their last game. So 59-103 was their final record. But the point here is, how pathetic are like the Tigers and the Royals that they couldn't overcome, that they couldn't just like bone up against the Twins. The White Sox 78-83, or you go in the AL West, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim 73-88. Check that, 74-88, because they won their last game, as did the Athletics to finish 69-93. So like Mariners and Astros, what are you doing, dudes? How are you not better? Good job being worse than the Orioles. Every team.
Yeah, the Tigers basically seem to be taken down solely by the Indians, who they, I mean, they, I think they, you know, they won two games of that last series against them, but until then, and only won like twice against them the entire season.
Right. So what did that make them? 4-15 against the Indians over their 19 games. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. If they could have just like won a couple more of those games, which still would have been a terrible record against the Indians, they could have had the second wild card.
Right. They would have only had to win 3 more games against the Indians, which still would have meant they were 7-11, which is still pretty bad.
So, yeah, I mean, thanks, Indians.
And because they only finished 2 games behind the Orioles, I think. Or I guess it's going to be 2.5 because they're not going to make up that one.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, as much as we are, as I can be, like, man, morose about the Orioles, like, they're better than all these other teams that didn't make it. So they're there. They deserve to be there.
They're good. Are they good enough? That's one thing that I felt like you and I have said a lot this year is like the Orioles are not bad. They're good, but they're not good enough. Well, they proved that they're good enough to at least get to the next step. So now we'll just have to see.
We really did say that a lot. There'd be some of those losses. You'd just be hanging your head and it's like, well, maybe they're just not good enough. Maybe they're good, but they're not good enough. And, you know, I mean, it's okay to have a season like that, too. That's better than 14 straight years of losing.
Oh, definitely. I'll take it any day.
Again, it just goes back to our, well, you know, in June, it just seemed like, oh, you know, what? Like, what was it? June, they set the most home runs ever hit by a team in June was the record they set that month. And it was just like, man, imagine in July and August, they're just going to keep hitting home runs when it's all hot outside.
They didn't.
They kind of didn't.
I mean, they still hit home runs, but that's basically all that they did.
Right. They started hitting only like solo home runs or like they were only getting runs by the home run. I think just in the last couple games, they were showing the Masson graphic with like the home run stats. And I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was like solo home runs, most in MLB, percentage of runs by the home run, like most in MLB, percentage of solo home runs, most in MLB, or, you know, this kind of stuff. Just like, you know, it is. It's kind of live by the home run, die by the home run. And of course, that's not a bad strategy to have when for the 4th year in a row, you have the world home run champion on the team. Mark
yeah,
Trumbo's
but then when
47.
You're not hitting home runs.
Right, then when you're screwed. Not hitting home runs, you're not, you know, what are you doing? Because they're just going to strike out like 20 times.
Although it seemed like towards the end of the season, they seemed like they were making kind of more of a, they were actually trying to adjust their approach. You know, they started, we had some sac flies, we had some hitting the opposite field, things like that. And that's not the team. I mean, I like the team that hits home runs. I am a fan of teams who hit home runs. But you have to also have that other stuff, you know, in your tool chest to be able to, because you're not always going to be able to hit home runs.
You know, I would say anecdotally, I agree with you, Stacey, just from what I feel like I experienced over the last 2 weeks. And of course, someone out there can be like, "Oh no, you're a moron, Mark. They didn't actually do that." But it just seemed like
It seemed like they
there
did.
was more like guy gets on first, moves up with a grounder, you know, scores on a single, or even, you know, like just in the Yankees series, you had like Michael Bourne gets a single, steals second, then moves to third on a grounder and scores on a sac fly. I mean, that's like. We literally did not see that, like, hardly at all from April to August.
Yeah, well, you know, Michael Bourne kind of gave them one guy who can kind of do that stuff, although he's not no great baseball player by any stretch of the imagination, but at least when he got on base, you kind of felt like, oh, hey, here's a guy who actually is good at this thing that the Orioles need right in this moment.
Can actually use his speed a little bit. Michael Bourne, by the way, is tied for second on the team in steals with two. He was around for 1 month.
Who's the team leader? Joey Rickert?
Joey Rickard with four, who of course hasn't been around since June or whenever the heck. But you know, the Orioles just, that's okay. Don't run. They're not a running team. They shouldn't be running. Don't have.
No, they shouldn't be. If you're not someone who's like Michael Bourne, you shouldn't be running. Like, and I don't understand.
Just on Sunday, Jonathan Scope got caught stealing. Like,
That had to be a messed up sign or something, right? What is Jonathan Scope doing trying to steal?
right.
Thankfully, it didn't matter in the end.
It didn't matter. And of course, Drew Stubbs also caught stealing. We probably don't have to worry about Drew Stubbs at all in the wild card
No, I don't think so.
picture.
Although they might keep him on the bench because they're not going to have as many, you know, they don't have to put all their starting pitchers on
That's
the roster for the
very
wild
true.
card
Like, for
game.
instance, Kevin Gausman, as good as he was, is not going to be on the wild card roster because, of course, there's no chance he's going to pitch.
Right.
Maybe Stubbs will be on instead of Reimold. You know, of course, Stacy and I are probably two of the biggest Nolan Reimold fans that have ever been.
Probably, but I, you know,
The ride has come to a complete stop.
I think this is finally the year that you and I were like, well, I guess we're gonna have to give up on Nolan Reimold.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
It's the
it's
end of
just,
an era.
you know, here's it's the season is over. Nolan Reimold played in 104 games, but only had 227 plate appearances. That's actually ridiculous. I didn't realize it was that much. And he only batted .222 with a .300 on base percentage and a .365 slugging percentage.
He
So
made those two good catches the other
he
day,
did make
though.
those two really good catches the other day. Those were important.
Yeah, they were important.
They were catches that Hyunsoo Kim would not have made.
Nope.
But thankfully, Kim pinch hit for him in the key spot. But yeah, I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter who's on the bench in the wild card game. I mean, maybe a little bit it does, but mostly it's going to be okay, what are the regulars going to do against probably Francisco Liriano? Maybe not, but
I hope not.
I guess that's tough for the Orioles if that means, well, okay, Alvarez will be on the bench. Like, do you think he'll actually have Alvarez play against a lefty in the
Well,
playoffs?
Alvarez hasn't really been playing that much anyway, since ever since they decided to put Trumbo at DH in, Bourne in the outfield, which I
Which
think has been good for the defense. Definitely, there's definitely some catches that Bourne has made that would have been like triples if Trumbo had been out
I
there.
am happy to have Trumbo be the DH. And if you go back to the preseason when they signed Alvarez, I was like, what the heck are they doing? They already have a guy who should only be the DH as Mark Trumbo.
And you know, truthfully, I mean, you hate to not, but if Alvarez is on the bench in the wild card game and Trumbo's DHing, that is a hell of a good bat to have off the bench in the late innings if you need a pinch hitter.
It does. I mean, like what? They could, you
So.
know, if the Blue Jays put on like Jason Grilley or something, and you can just say, "Hey, Pedro, how about you pinch hit?"
Hope they do bring in Jason Grilley.
That would be good. I don't like that guy.
No, he's the worst. But yeah, so that gives. Or if it ends up not being. I can't imagine them leaving Trumbo off the lineup, but if they end up being a righty and getting Pedro in there, then you might have Trumbo off the bench. I mean, although, like I said, I can't imagine that they wouldn't put Trumbo in the lineup, but. Never know.
Trumbo certainly had some adventures out there in the right field.
It seems like Buck finally had enough because
it did.
I haven't seen him out there
it
in a while.
It did feel like he reached a breaking point. I don't know when that might have been, but there were certainly some bad plays. If we just want to go by defensive runs saved, the metric I'm fetching off of Fangraphs.com, which, by the way, Fangraphs.com is a great resource, and so is BaseballReference.com. If you're listening to this podcast, I can't imagine you don't know about them already, but the sites have been asking people, hey, you know, if you use us, make sure to tell your audience about us. So I am doing my part, although honestly, I assume if you're a good baseball fan, which you probably are if you're listening to this podcast, you probably already know them. But if you don't, if you ever wonder, hey, how do they know all this stuff? It's probably on Fangraphs or Baseball Reference. So having said that, Mark Trumbo was minus 9 runs in right field, which is actually not as horrible as I expected. But you don't want to be minus 9 runs. You want to get, like, the Cubs outfield where they're all, like, plus 20 runs.
Well, they tried to get someone from the Cubs outfield.
They did. They tried to get Dexter Fowler. Man.
Sorry I brought it up.
No, but, like, God, that whole thing is still crazy months later. Like, what really happened? We'll never know. We will never know. I don't know if the reporters even know, because of course they were the ones saying, oh, Dexter Fowler, he'll be in Sarasota tomorrow to take his physical. And then instead of Florida, he showed up in Arizona.
Yeah. He would have looked good out there.
They would have won the AL East if they had Dexter Fowler. I think that's probably the case. There's your leadoff hitter. Dude had a 391 on base percentage.
I don't even know what that's like, having a player on your team who does that.
No, actually, Fowler was only plus 2 runs in center field. He would have probably been worth more in right field. But moving on from him, he didn't want to come to the Orioles. He's a loser.
Yeah, screw him.
We don't need him. We're in the wild card game without him. So we're probably going to have an outfield of, like, Jones, Bourne, and, I mean, Trumbo. Like, I don't know. Like, are you going to put Drew Stubbs out there? Are you going to put Nolan Reimold out there?
No. I think, I mean, if it's a lefty, you're going to have to put Trumbo out there, I feel like.
Yeah.
Unless, because do you want to have Bourne? I don't know, maybe they would stick Bourne out there, even though he's a lefty batter, and maybe the defense, because, you know, Toronto's a big outfield. It's a tough outfield to play. I don't know, but maybe they'll go with a righty, and
there's so many permutations to discuss, and we don't even know the Jays started. Maybe we should have done this podcast Monday night instead of Sunday night, but that's okay. No, because we wanted to bask in the exuberance.
The exuberance.
The Orioles are in the playoffs.
Yes, although I'll be honest, I basked for about 30 minutes before I started worrying again.
For the third time in 5 years, which is pretty cool.
It's great. It's great.
And of course, they're still, you know, you got, like, Mark Viviano tweeted earlier the Orioles are still, like, got the most wins in the American League in the last 5 seasons combined or something like that.
How is that possible?
I know. This seems like someone must have been better, but they weren't. Now, of course, that doesn't mean the Orioles have been the best team in the American League consistently over the last 5 years. But I mean, they were in the playoffs 3 of the 5 years.
And, you know, they've been in the conversation. 2013, they won 85 games, and they were in the playoff race until near the end of September.
I think they were within one game up till, like, 10 games left in the season.
Yeah. And then, obviously, last year they only won 81 and 81, so it wasn't – they were out of it quite a bit earlier. But even they hung in long enough in the season that you felt like, well, this could turn into something before it kind of crashed and burned. Whereas, you know, plenty of other years – the Orioles in, like, June, you were like, oh, not again this kind of season. And that didn't even feel that way, even though they didn't. So, I mean, you know, there's something to be said for 5 years that the Orioles have given us hope. And 3 of those years have gone to the playoffs. That's amazing. Our team.
I mean, think about it. You know, just 5 years ago doesn't seem like that many years. Well, Stacy and I are both old enough that 5 years ago doesn't seem like that many years now. But, I mean, the most exciting thing that had happened this century at this time 5 years ago was, of course, the last game of the 2011 season. And it just seemed like Robert Andino just, like, single-handedly destroying the Red Sox in September and keeping the Red Sox out of the playoffs that year. It was just like the greatest thing that could possibly happen to the Orioles. How little we knew.
How little. I mean, and I don't want to take anything away from that game because that game was amazing, and I still think kind of kicked off this culture of winning.
The necessary prologue to the 2012 Orioles.
But now, it doesn't even seem like, I don't know, how we were so excited for that 69th win of the year, or whatever it was, and now this team has been in the playoffs three of the last five, and that's still unbelievable.
All those years we were sitting there in September trying to figure out, okay, the Orioles have to get this record to avoid 100 losses.
Yeah, or you're like counting down to the number one draft pick, seeing if they can get it this year.
I think we did have some days like that on Camden Chat, some arguments mm-hmm. over, oh, what are, well, maybe they should lose and get a better draft pick.
I never thought that.
No.
I know, I mean, I understood the logic and I understood the argument, but I never... How could you ever root for your team to lose?
Yeah, I don't want the Orioles to lose even for a draft pick. Because, of course, well, they've had some very good top draft picks, but some of them were not. So you can't even just be like, you know, even when they were picking, like, oh, number three. Well, number three, they picked Manny Machado, but number four, well, they picked Kevin Gausman, but they also picked Brian Mattis or Dylan Bundy, whose fate we don't really know, although I was happy with some of the starts he made. We haven't said
seems
his name
to be,
yet.
Seems to be turning around for him.
Yeah, there's reason to be hopeful for him. Of course, Stacy and I pretty much worry his arm's going to fall off every start.
Yeah,
I was worried the Orioles pushed him too far, and they keep saying, well, they're going to have him start as many games as he needs to in the postseason if they get to that point or whatever. But, I mean, you know, and then looking ahead to next year is like, well, is he going to be able to start 30 games, 32 games? I don't
know. You know, I'd like to think that, I mean, obviously this is just in a perfect world scenario, but I'd like to think that if there was some issue that we don't, you know, we're not going to hear about what goes on behind closed doors. And I think the fact that they did try to get him extra rest when they could here and there, another day here, another, you know, but I feel like, I mean, if he really feels good, and there's no reason to think that he doesn't, then I guess we just have to trust them. But I don't know, man. Of course, maybe he feels good now, but it's putting some kind of, you know, unforeseen stress on his arm that I don't know.
Some kind of ticking time bomb stuff.
Yeah. But I still feel hopeful for him. It's just so worrisome. It seems to be the opposite of what other teams do.
All right, and the Orioles, of course, just really just don't have a great track record with developing pitchers at all. I mean, so as much as if you're worried about guys blowing out their arms, I mean, the thing is, they haven't had that happen at the major league level in a while. Knock on wood. Knock on my wood desk here. But, like, you know, they're not like one of these teams where, like, multiple members of their starting rotation from their big league rotation are, like, you know, having to undergo Tommy John in the same season or something like that. I mean, you've had it happen to Bundy, and then they had it happen to Harvey, but, like, I don't know. I mean, when it happens to a guy in the minor leagues, it just kind of seems like that was probably the pre-existing damage, maybe.
Also, Tommy John, I mean, it's, when a player has to get Tommy John, it stinks because they lose so much time, but it is such a common thing now. It doesn't even seem like, you know, I mean, it stinks because now we don't have this guy we thought we would have. But, oh, yeah, well, how many pitchers don't get Tommy John? It seems like they all do nowadays.
Modern medicine has done a miraculous thing with Tommy John surgery. Mm-hmm. Of course, the success rate is not 100%, and not everybody who makes it back to the major leagues is exactly what they were before the surgery. But, I mean, it's not a career death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good, because the Orioles could really use a Dylan Bundy. And a couple of years down the road, they could use a Hunter Harvey, maybe.
Yeah. And so, you know, if they're going to keep throwing Bundy in the playoffs, as far as the Orioles may get in the playoffs, then we just got to cross our fingers and try and trust that they know what they're doing, at least more than we do, which is got to be the case.
So Bundy, we're probably not going to see Bundy in the wild card game, although he hasn't pitched in a little while. Maybe
they might have him in the bullpen,
yeah,
I would imagine.
They might have him as like a, you know, if something, you know, like a starter takes a liner off the shin or something.
Well, I know they said he was available in the bullpen over this weekend. So if they might keep him on the roster for the wild card game, just to, you know, because what if they go with Ubaldo, and he's Ubaldo, not new Baldo.
not new American citizen Ubaldo, not new daddy Ubaldo.
Yeah, so I don't, who knows, they might, it seems like it would be a good idea to have someone in the bullpen who could come in and take over for a long stretch if needed.
You know, Stacey, just talking about Ubaldo, and you never know. I mean, think about, what was it, right before the trading deadline, and there was the whole, oh, they're maybe trying to trade Ubaldo for Melvin Upton Jr.
Imagine.
That would have been so bad. We would have had no idea how bad that was going to be, because we never could have imagined Ubaldo turning it around. Like, I mean, there's your difference between the Orioles making the playoffs and not making the playoffs right there. Melvin Upton traded to Toronto, where he had a 586 OPS in 56 games.
Yeah, he did nothing
games.
For them.
What a horrible trade that would have been.
And a lot of people were in favor of it.
I did not hate the idea of it at the time.
I don't think I felt strongly either way, but I was like, well, you know, maybe it is time.
I wasn't trying to shove him out of town, and if only because I really felt like it would just be about the crappiest thing you could possibly do to
try
when he was on the paternity leave. I mean, it's like, geez, that would have been horrible. That would have been some bad karma right there.
It definitely would have been bad karma.
If only for that reason. And then he's turned out to be a lot better in the second half. This is good. They needed that. Would not have been in the postseason without second half Ubaldo, I don't think.
Nope, I don't think so. His ERA was like 2.3 or something. 2.31, I think.
Since rejoining the rotation, yeah, it was really good. I mean, I would certainly rather take that than Melvin Upton's 586.
Any day.
Yes. That's, I mean, you never know. You never know. We, the fans, never know. I don't even think the people who do it ever fully know to make the decisions. Sometimes you get lucky. That was a lucky non-move.
Definitely lucky.
You're absolutely right. 2.84 ERA over his eight. I'm sorry, not. I picked a relief thing in there. On our baseball reference, 2.45 ERA over his seven starts.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good indeed. Including his most recent, where he kept the Blue Jays off the board for 6 2/3 innings. Only gave up the one hit.
What a guy.
That was great. Man, Ubaldo Jimenez, great American. The latest great American. That was a really happy story. I get really happy when good things happen to Ubaldo.
Well, he seems by all accounts to be a very good person.
Stacey, you were pointing out to me from the post-game clubhouse celebration, Ubaldo was like the first guy in the arena, so to speak, just kind of like waiting around for everybody to get in there and start spraying the champagne and beer, and he just kind of like took a swig of the champagne before everybody was around. He just couldn't wait to get a little bit of the party going himself.
Well, he deserves it. He's a reason that they got to do it.
Yeah, and he just seems like such a great clubhouse guy and like human being. I just remember like even earlier in the season when you had the whole douchebag Yordano Ventura starting fights, and like they talked to Ubaldo after the game about that, and he just sounded like legitimately concerned for like Ventura as a human and as a life, and he was just like, Ubaldo was like, I just really hope he gets it together. It's just sad to see him. He doesn't have it together or something like that. And I was like, I mean, what a guy.
Yeah, what a guy.
What a guy. Not that I want good things for Yordano Ventura particularly. I don't like...
Because, well, Ubaldo's a better guy than you.
Ubaldo
then.
Is a better guy than me. Many people probably are better guys than me, but Ubaldo is definitely one of them.
I can't believe the Orioles are in the playoffs.
I know! We have still not gotten over this. It's about, what, four-ish hours after the game ended? A little bit more than that as we're recording this podcast for you on... October the 2nd, 2016 in the evening, but it's still kind of, and really, they would have made it in the exact same spot even if they had lost today, since the Tigers lost, but of course we
but
know
still,
that at the time.
So much better to go in with the win.
So much better to go in with winning 2 out of 3 in back-to-back series on the road.
Mm-hmm.
The stretch we were all dreading for like the last 2 months of the season, like, oh my god, the Orioles are horrible on the road. Their last 6 games are going to be on the road, and worrying about, oh, all these last Orioles games are going to be against contending teams. And, I mean, they pretty much answered those concerns pretty well, coming in as they did with their September-October record.
You know, and it seemed for a while like the odds were in the Orioles' favor to make the postseason, but that the wild card race was just so close. Like, everyone was talking about tiebreakers, and everyone was fretting over the decision to take the one home game over the two road games, and everyone was... And they didn't even... It was all for nothing. The Orioles, they got in the playoffs. Detroit choked. And it wouldn't have even mattered because the Orioles won. Like, it just... They really got the job done in the end.
Talk about worrying about nothing. You're absolutely right. There, I saw a lot of people today, like, wringing their hands over. Why did the Orioles take the one home game? I don't know why. I suspect probably because they wanted an extra day off. They wanted to play at home. Whatever. I don't know. But, you know, they didn't want to do all the traveling, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Have to burn two of their best pitchers instead of one.
Yeah, I mean...
There's a lot of factors that would have gone into it. And I just kept trying to be like, I don't even want to think about it because, you know, hopefully it won't matter.
Make it not matter.
But and it didn't. I mean, I still worried about it some because that's what I do, but... I told myself not to, and turns out I didn't need to.
Right, the Orioles never trailed on the final day of the season here, so it was not like it was ever really imminent. As close as it got was the Yankees had the tying run on base with two outs against Zach Britton in the eighth inning. That was only after two ground balls snuck through. Because, of course, he's Zach Britton, and even when he's giving up an inherited run, he's still getting ground balls. Or striking people out.
He's pretty good.
He is pretty good. Zach Britton, in fact, I would say, is a big reason why the Orioles are where they are. You can say.
Yeah, there was a nice... he gave a nice interview today. He was the first guy that got interviewed down in the clubhouse. And one of the things he was talking about, you know, I think Gary Thorne brought up how good the starting pitching had been this year, you know. And I don't remember exactly how he put it. It probably wasn't as good. But he said something about how, well, you know, early on... the bullpen did what we could to pick up the starting pitching when they needed it, and now they're paying us back. So I just thought that was like kind of like a nice little way for him to say that.
That was a very generous thing for him to say and use in us, because Zach Britton never needed to be picked up.
No.
47 for 47 on save opportunities, which is one of those things that now that I've said it, I'm again nervous about it. Because nobody goes perfect, right? Nobody goes perfect. What if you get Zach Britton blows his first save in the wild card game? Oh, that would be horrible. I've dreaded.
I can't even think about that.
I've dreaded, for probably 2 months, I've dreaded, oh my God, Zach Britton's first blown save is going to happen at the worst.
Because nobody's perfect. And it wouldn't make him any less of a good pitcher. It would just make him a pitcher. You know, that's what happens.
Like, even a guy with a 0.55 ERA has given up some runs. Seven runs counting three unearned runs. Like, even he gives up some runs sometime. It can happen. Nobody's that good. His ERA plus, well, 0.55, and it got even lower today because he pitched 1 2/3 innings.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually ended, as I wait for the box score to load in my browser, and I'm just kind of talking to fill airtime. Actually ended at 0.54. Like, nobody does that. That doesn't happen. That's an unheard of number.
Yeah. It's like, on one hand, there's nobody you want in at the end of the game more than him because he is so good. But on the other hand, is he due to blow it?
Well, that's probably why Buck pitched him for five outs in this Sunday contest, kind of thinking, okay, let's make sure he's not been on the shelf for too long. Because I guess if he hadn't pitched today, it would have been, what, since Friday? Mm-hmm. He would have gone Friday to Tuesday without pitching. That's a long time to be laid off there. Of course, guys who did get picked up include, like, Brad Brock. Not as good in the second half. I'm plenty happy Brad Brock was an all-star, but he was not an all-star in the second half.
No, he wasn't. But, I mean, overall, he's still very good. And he's still a guy who I think it's, you know... He's had his ups and downs in the second half, but I still trust him. You know, I think I still trust him.
I don't know if I want to see him in the wild card game. I mean, ideally the Orioles would be winning like 10-0, so it doesn't ever matter who comes out of the bullpen, really. But
yeah, and the starting pitcher will go eight innings.
I mean, I guess the thing with Brock is it's like, well, you know, did he get overworked or something like that? Like, you know, I don't.
Or is it just regular old kind of? He was pitching so far over his head in the first half.
Yeah,
had to happen sometime.
Right, like even as much as we were saying, okay, Brad Brock, you've been bad in the second half. He ends the season with a 2.05 ERA, which is still
very good.
Like, if you have a guy like that in your bullpen, you're like, man, that's really good.
Mm-hmm. Just all the runs kind of came in a bunch at the end.
Right, including the 4 runs charged to him on Saturday. I mean, like, you think about it. Like, everybody talks about, oh, you know, like, the Yankees have Dellin Betances, and he's like, wow, he's such a great reliever, which, you know, he was great last year and the year before. He went from a 1.40 ERA to a 1.50 ERA the previous 2 seasons. Everybody was still talking about him like he was all that. This year, he comes in, and he was kind of bad for a while, and he ends up with a 3.08 ERA. That's not that good
also
for a reliever.
They're towards the end, after they traded away their other 2 good relief pitchers, they kind of used him a lot more than they should have. And I felt, and for me to feel bad for, like, I just felt kind of bad for him being brought in over and over again. And I mean, it was great to see the Yankees keep losing, but I was just like, God, cut this guy a break. He doesn't need to be in every single game. Girardi.
The Orioles, an unsung hero relievers, just... It really does go with their successful seasons. There's always guys lurking in the bullpen that's just like, wow, where did they come from and how did they do that? I mean, like for instance, if you would have said Darren O'Day was going to struggle this year, which he did, and also was hurt a lot, you would have probably been pretty worried about the Orioles bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
But then Brock picked up the slack while O'Day was hurt. Michael Givens, mm-hmm. you might have thought would be pretty good. He was okay. Your reliever, you got a 3.13 ERA. That's really just okay.
He has ups and downs.
But then they unearth Donnie Hart. 27th round pick Donnie Hart from the 2013 draft. There's the loogie we've been waiting for. At least for a half season.
Could have been using him for a while now instead of I guess he probably wasn't ready. But
no, they probably Ryan didn't want Mattis. To count on him, you know, until he had put up some numbers this season.
He's been great.
Been good to see him. Even our old friend Tommy Hunter came back and put up a 2.19 ERA over 12 games the final month there. And of course, Tommy Hunter gave us the... That's going to go down in history. The double F-bomb on the Masson Clubhouse celebration before they could cut the mic and realize, oh my God, that was a horrible idea.
That's what you get for interviewing Tommy Hunter.
They weren't even interviewing him. They just had like the general... Did you skip over that, Stacy? Stacy had to fast forward through because her husband
Paul
was
that one.
Having to get the quotes. Yeah, they came in at the start of the celebration. And if you haven't seen this, you should go on CamdenChat.com and see where I rounded it up in a post. It's great. So they're just like getting the celebration started, and Tommy Hunter is just like holding court to the assembled Orioles. And he's just like screaming. And he's like, and how about effing 162 games? And then he's like, give me 2 claps and a Ric Flair, which for people who aren't wrestling fans, Ric Flair is where you go, woo! I did not do a very good Ric Flair right there because I didn't want to blow out your eardrums, but the Ric Flair is the woo. So, and then he gets him to do the 2 claps and the Ric Flair, and then he's like, and how about Kevin Effin Gosman? Just like right there live on Masson. And then at this point, somebody in the control room has like frantically muted the audio coming out of the clubhouse. And Tom Davis just starts awkwardly talking. Because they were planning to just like go to the clubhouse for like a long time. And then they had to cut away until they realized Tommy Hunter was done with his tirade. I'm sure there were some more F-bombs that didn't make it onto the broadcast after that point. That was a classic. That was a classic right there.
Good old Tommy.
That was great. And, of course, Tommy Hunter was lurking through the clubhouse with, like, 6 beer bottles clutched to his chest, which perfectly matched my memory of him from the 2014 clinching game started by Ubaldo Jimenez. And, of course, you were there because you had more faith in Ubaldo than I did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I didn't have much faith in Ubaldo, but I thought if they were going to clinch it, I was going to be there. And there was a chance, so I went. And I was rewarded.
That was a good decision for you. So yeah, I mean, Tommy Hunter came back. I would have not have thought he would have been any kind of key contributor. I don't know how key he was over the last...
I wouldn't really say he was key, but he was good to have around.
You know, good to have around for clubhouse celebration purposes. Maybe that's the only reason they re-signed him to... You know, he's out there acting like he's been on the team the whole year. He's the dude giving the big speech after they clinched. I actually don't really know... don't know how that works out in the bullpen dynamic, but whatever. It was awesome. It's awesome. The Orioles are in the playoffs. It's awesome.
It's awesome.
But no, we're not going to say anything. There's nothing good to say about Brian Dunsing and Oliver Drake. I mean, I don't care about those guys. Whatever.
I wasn't planning on saying anything good about them.
No, I mean, the key guys are really, you know, of course, Britton. Brock was good for a good while. Donnie Hart comes out of nowhere to be the lefty. Vance Worley ate some innings when they really needed to eat some innings, which, that's an unsung hero kind of guy.
Yeah, he definitely is the kind of guy that no one really thinks about in any kind of, impactful manner, but he's the kind of guy you got to have if you want to get through the whole season.
Innings he was pitching are innings better relievers did not have to be pitching. I mean, I shouldn't disparage him by saying better relievers, but guys with more defined late inning roles don't have to pitch just to pitch, through a game. Or, so you don't have to have multiple games with Ryan Flaherty pitching.
One is enough.
One was enough. I did feel blessed to be there for that game. I like seeing position players pitch. Seeing Flaherty pitch was...
That might have been my first ever time seeing a position player pitch in person. I'm not sure.
I got to see last year when the Phillies had to use Jeff Francoeur against the Orioles in the game where they hit all the home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And the bullpen was off the hook, and they were literally like waving the white towel to get those guys' attention.
Right.
What was that, the Camden Chat meetup we had where Flaherty pitched?
Yeah. They got their butts kicked.
They got their butts kicked, but we all got to see Ryan Flaherty pitch. You don't see that every day. That was pretty cool. But we don't want to see that in the division game, certainly, or the wild card game. No. I don't even know what scenario would have to occur. Like, it would have to be like the 19th inning, maybe. And even then.
Yeah. We're not even considering that, friend.
We're not. That would be horrible. 19 innings in a one game, winner take all. Oh, that would be horrible. No.
That's okay, because the Orioles they can win. I mean, maybe they won't win, but they can win. I don't feel, after the way that they finished the season, other than that stupid series against the Red Sox, I don't know. I feel like they can do it.
Stacey, do you know something we haven't talked about? We've talked about it generally, but not specifically. The home runs. The Orioles, with their 253 home runs, thanks to Matt Wieters homering from both sides of the plate in their clinching game, it's the fifth most home runs any team has ever hit. Trailing
a lot of dongs.
Trailing, among others, the 96 Orioles were right ahead of them on the list. It was, the 97 Mariners were the top, something like that. That is a lot of dongs. So, I mean, if they have multiple home runs in the wild card game, I'll probably feel pretty good about their chances. I don't, of course, who knows if that's going to happen, but...
Or maybe they'll win without any home runs just to mess with us.
I mean, yeah. There's six guys in the lineup with 20-plus home runs. Five guys with 25-plus home runs. That's a lot of home runs. I mean, you can't make a mistake. Whatever pitcher can't make mistakes, because if you make a mistake, that's when the home runs happen.
Yep.
And... nobody's perfect. You can be very good over one game, and you can even be perfect over one game, but most people are not going to be perfect.
No, they're not.
You're going to make a mistake.
I think that if the pitching can keep the game close enough, then the Orioles have a real good chance, especially if they get into the Blue Jays bullpen.
Right, yeah, really the best case scenario for the wild card game is probably like good Ubaldo pitches six innings and two-thirds, maybe gives up like two runs, and then the Orioles are winning like 3-2 when Ubaldo comes out of the game, and then from like two solo home runs and one like sac fly or something, and then like Manny Machado hits like a 3-run home run against the Blue Jays bullpen to really put it on ice. That's really the best case.
I mean, he's been pretty ice cold, but
he has been on the ice cold side, so it would be good for him to come up big. It would be good for Adam Jones to come up big. Adam Jones and the playoffs have not ever gone so well together, as I recall. Because, of course, Flaherty has more playoff home runs in his career than Adam Jones does, which, small sample size, but... oh, my God, Manny Machado, 414 OPS. Oh, that's his slugging percentage, excuse me. I read the wrong column. 704 OPS. Still not very good.
Better than 414.
That's embarrassing one for me. It's okay. I am a fool on this podcast probably every time I record it, so that's okay. But yeah, 704 OPS for September, October, not counting whatever he did on Sunday. That's not very good from your star player.
No, it's not. He's been pretty cold this whole month, and although, I mean, he's such a good player that it could get turned around at any moment, and hopefully it does, because they could use him.
Yeah, Stacey and I are not the people who get cranky about Manny and are like, oh, well, if he only hustled, or, only if he would bunt more often or whatever. You know, Manny is Manny. I don't want him to be any different than what he is.
I'm very thankful that we have him in the first place.
You know, maybe if he complained a little bit less to umpires after strikeouts.
Yeah, that might be my only thing, but I'm not going to ever get him for... I mean, his base running blunders are frustrating, but when you're that good, so good at all the other stuff, what are you going to do? Whatever.
Like, when you hit 37 home runs, that's, you know...
And you're one of the best fielders in baseball.
You're probably going to get another gold glove. Definitely should get another gold glove. Who knows what those people will decide, but, you know, he's... You know, you're slugging over 500. It's... The world is Manny Machado's oyster. If he's going to dog a grounder every now and again, whatever.
I'm not worried about it.
I don't care. It doesn't make me... get in cranky old man mode like some of the people who come on comment on Camden Chat sometimes. If only Manny hustled. You know what? He hustles every time when he spears an impossible ground ball and then fires it across the diamond faster than you really believe is possible. Like, just think of how spoiled we get by Manny, like, just making those plays. Like, they just seem automatic.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting to have him on the team, regardless of his hustle on a ground ball to second base.
A whole lot of teams are looking at third base and seeing Manny Machado there, and they're coveting him. I mean, probably the only ones that aren't are, like, I'm probably going to forget a couple here, but of course, like, Nolan Arenado, probably the Rockies fans are like, nah, we like him, but he's pretty good. Nolan Arriendo, as Gary Thorne would say. He says it wrong every time. I don't know. I can't imagine no one ever corrects him. Maybe they don't correct Gary Thorne. But I love Gary Thorne because of his mistakes. That's what makes him so. And then Josh Donaldson, much as I dislike him and his ugly, stupid hair, he's also pretty good. Reigning AL MVP, although I don't think he's going to be repeating, but still had a pretty good season. I hate Oakland for trading him to the Blue Jays, actually.
Especially because it's not like they even like took a bunch of their prospects back. They took freaking Brett Laurie.
Yeah. So.
Anyway. So
Stacy and I always have a list of grievances towards like every team in baseball.
Well, they deserve it.
Yeah, you might call us haters. We are haters of every team that's not the Orioles. And well, occasionally we hate the Orioles, but only when they make us.
Only when they hate us first.
Only when they hate us first. That's absolutely right, Stacy. Which happens a lot. Hopefully it won't happen on Tuesday.
No, hopefully not. Hopefully they give us many reasons to love them.
So obviously we have no idea what's going to happen in this wild card game. I will be pretty disappointed if they lose it, but I think in time I will be like, you know, that was a pretty good year. Mm-hmm. But I would like the pretty good year to keep going.
It's very frustrating. I mean, anytime you lose in the playoffs is very frustrating. But in retrospect, just getting to the playoffs is always a good thing, you know? So I will be so angry and sad if they lose on Tuesday. But get back to me in another year and see what I thought about this season, you know?
Like 20 teams wish they were where the Orioles are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And of the 10 teams that are left, only one can win the World Series. So, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to win. It's hard to win the World Series.
We've entered into crapshoot territory.
Even if you're good, even if you're great, that's hard to win the World Series. You know, the Cubs won whatever many games, and they might not win. Cause
anything can happen over a 1 or 5 or 7 game stretch, anything. And we just got to hope that the cards fall for the Orioles.
And, of course, if they do win the wild card, they will move on to the Rangers, who were pretty good.
They're okay.
And so on and so on. But, you know, here they are. They made it. They made it. They deserve to be here. No one can say that they don't, although some of the haters might. We won't name his name, but we all know who the number one hater is. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I hope they do it. The Orioles, of course, won the first ever wild card game, so they've got that kind of wild card karma.
That's right. They're like wild card royalty.
I mean, if they win this one, they will be. They'll be the first repeat winner, I think. I don't know that off the top of my head, but I'm assuming. I don't think anybody's won it twice. Certainly not in the AL. Okay, I'm going to stop looking at Texas. That's going to be for the next podcast if we do another podcast.
That's right.
Don't get ahead. One game at a time. The Orioles, hopefully they all had their passports with them in New York. That'd be pretty inconvenient.
Well, they came straight from Toronto, so they're probably okay.
Oh, you're right. They did. I forgot. You know what? I was going off Gary joking. Oh, do you know where your passport is? As if
Ah,
they had left
well,
it in Baltimore.
when he said that, my always observant husband said, they just came from Toronto, so that's how I was able to just make
Ah, see,
that
then we can thank Paul for that one.
joke.
I was just going off of Gary. And of course, Gary was literally beer and champagne soaked at that time. We joke that
Yes.
he's probably drunk most of the time, but literally he was beer and champagne soaked. He had his Made in October t-shirt, or Made for October t-shirt, just like all the rest of them did. Which,
Yeah,
you don't want to get your suit dirty.
he was ready to party.
Don't want to get your suit beer all over it. Cheap beer, no less. All the Budweiser bottles. I'm assuming it was probably cheap champagne, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
Not that I know anything about champagne. What I do know is the Orioles are in the wild card game, and I hope they win.
Yeah, they are.
I don't really know much about baseball either, as established by my preseason prediction of 82 wins.
Hey, that's more than most people gave
It
them.
is most people, and of course the Vegas over under was 79.5 for wins.
I know, I wish I had been there to place a
That
bet.
would have been an easy, like, even as pessimistic as I am, I would have put over on that and felt pretty confident. I was like, they're not going to be worse than last year. The starting rotation was about as bad or worse, but other things were better. Just me. That's the way to do it.
That's right.
So they come down to this one game to rule them all, and I don't know. I'm going to be biting my nails. I'm not a nail biter, so I won't actually be biting my nails, but metaphorically, nail biting a lot.
Well, maybe we'll get a good game where they come out and score five in the first inning or something and give us a little bit of
Yeah,
relaxation.
give us like the one Astros game where Wade Miley blew it, but without the part with Wade Miley blowing it. What was it? They were like
Well,
up
those
5-0
five home runs in the first.
before an out had been recorded or whatever,
That was so exciting right until Wade Miley came in.
and then by the second inning, freaking Vance Worley or Mike Wright or whoever was warming, and it's just like, oh my God, this is so terrible. No, I'm not going to bring up that memory right now. That was horrible.
No, right? The
Why did I
Orioles are in
talk
the
about that?
playoffs,
The
Mark.
Orioles
What
are
are
in the
you doing?
playoffs. The Orioles are in the
You
playoffs.
can't help yourself.
It's kind of a sad reflex at this point. As I discussed earlier, this is like my psychiatry session. So thank you for listening to me, Stacy, and everyone else out there. I may not know your name, but I thank you for listening to CamdenCast. All the people who bother me, hey, when's the next CamdenCast? And I don't
Now you can
usually know
just.
the answer, but now there's one, and as long as the Orioles are in the playoffs, there will be some more CamdenCasts. And of course, I promised before. Stacy mocked me before we started recording. We'll try and do them more frequently, also.
Yeah.
So certainly, as long as they're in the playoffs. So,
Which hopefully is quite some time.
if you are a CamdenCast fan, root for the Orioles to go in the playoffs farther, not just because of that, but just so you can hear more of us talking about them. As you know, we will have a lot to say. We've been doing this for like 1 hour and 15 minutes, and I feel like we could keep going with more Orioles topics. We really didn't even do a season rundown. We just have been going from thing to thing.
Well, yeah, because the Orioles are in the
The
playoffs.
season is not over, so it is not yet
That's
time
right.
for the season run.
We are not ready to run down a season that has not yet
It's
ended.
not time for the postmortem just yet. The Orioles are in the playoffs. It's pretty awesome. So, but
Yeah.
we are about at the end of our time here. Well, I mean, we could keep going, but
We won't do that to you people.
we assume you want to stop at some point. You have a job to get to. So, your boss is probably going to get cranky if you don't do anything at all on Monday. So, Stacy, do you have any one final thought for this moment in time? The
Just that
conclusion of the 2016 regular season for the
I
Orioles, where
am
they
very
are.
happy with the way the 2016 regular season ended up going. You know, wild card is scary, and wild card is even more of a crapshoot than the rest of the playoffs, but you got to start somewhere.
That's a good thought. My final thought is I'm really glad with the evolution of evil goatee Kevin Gausman.
Oh, isn't he great?
Yeah, I don't know whether it was the goatee or shifting to chewing gum instead of constantly chewing his mouth guard, but it was definitely one of those two things that made him start pitching better, because his transformation into a good pitcher coincided with both of those things. He changed up at once, which I think was at the start of August, although I'm not 100% sure off that. Not counting today, Gausman had a 2.87 ERA since August, and I'm thinking that went down today with 7 1/3 with 2 runs allowed. So that's been pretty big for the Orioles. I've been kind of down on him sometimes. Not even his fault, really, because it just seemed like he was going to be like the next hyped Orioles position pitching player prospect to never really do it, you know?
Yeah, and there were all these weight reasons you could point to the Orioles as to why, like the way they kept jerking him around and not giving him, you know, any time in the majors for sending him back down and stuff like that. And
jerk him to the bullpen,
you know what?
And the rotation.
But he has come through it, and now he is probably the best starter in the rotation.
And there was the whole thing about, oh, Kevin Gausman just never wins on the road until he finally did at the end of August. But he's, you know, evil goatee Gausman is here. I think the goatee makes him look kind of like Joe Saunders, honestly, but it's working for him.
Really?
I mean, Joe Saunders had a goatee, right? I don't know.
Well, yeah, but he also had like a fat face.
He did, that's true. Gausman has a baby face, even with the beard. That's true. Just, I don't know. It was I don't know. That was probably one of the dumber things I've said tonight, but I'll leave it in there just so everyone can laugh at me. Stacy's laughing at me. You can laugh at me, too. But evil all goatee right. Gausman, that's one of my keys for the second half of the Orioles season. So
definitely.
He's not allowed to shave. He's got to keep that thing well-trimmed and maintained. And, you know, that's my thing for that. So that's all we've got for tonight. So if you don't already, you should definitely give us a like on Facebook at facebook.com/CamdenChat. You can, if you want, you can marvel at the dumb people who comment on our Facebook page sometimes and don't even seem to be aware that Camden Chat is a blog. You can follow us on Twitter. We are at Camden Chat on Twitter. And if you do either of those things, you will see all of our articles posted on there. So you can know whenever there's new stuff for your eyeballs. But really, I hope you will bookmark us on CamdenChat.com, because we will certainly have a lot going on as the Orioles are in the postseason and hopefully moving through the postseason. But as we move on from there, wherever the Orioles are going, we'll be talking about it. So check us out. We have fresh content literally every day. We'll have to ask the Camden Chat historian when the last day there was no content on CamdenChat.com was. But I think it probably predates you being in charge, Stacy.
Probably. I mean, there were some times in the off season when I first took over that maybe we didn't.
I feel like we're probably at least like 5 or 6 years of everything.
Yeah, probably.
There's something. So check us out, CamdenChat.com. We will.
It's good stuff.
You can join and comment with us if you are cool. You will get along just fine.
You're not cool and you comment.
Oh, no. I get burned right at the end.
You walked into it.
I did. I did walk right into that one. And it's true. I'm not cool. I've never been cool in my life, which is probably why I run a blog. But, you know. You ran a blog too, Stacy, so you're no better than me. You ran this blog.
Yes, I know, and I'm also not cool.
Well, there we go. So we're not cool, but we are your podcasters.
And the Orioles are in the playoffs.
And the Orioles are in the playoffs. So that's all we have for you tonight. So for Stacy Folkemer, I am Mark Brown. We are bringing you CamdenCast. This is Birdland, and we are out.